your business.
Are we more likely to deter the future use of chemical weapons by acting or not acting? That's the consideration.
If the United States stands by and doesn't take very serious action, not just launching some cruise missiles, then again, our credibility in the world is diminished even more, if there's any left.
I think it's pretty clear that chemical weapons were used against people in Syria. I think that the intelligence will conclude that it wasn't the rebels who used it. The deeper we get into this, it seems to me it's clear and clear that the government of Syria was responsible. Suffice to say, the options are there. The United States Department of Defense is ready to carry out those options. If that would occur, that would occur also in coordination with our international partners.
Lots of opinions on Syria. You just heard Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel. Before that, Senator John McCain, not mincing words, and David Cameron from the UK, who the PM, the Prime Minister, and you heard what he had to say. Well, there is the consideration for this, and everybody's tap dancing at this point. Eventually, somebody's going to stop, and when the music stops, who's going to have a seat and who isn't going to have a seat? So it's probably missiles that will be pounded into Syria. Will that irk Assad? Does he turn on more chemical weapons? What do we really know about the attack? Not a lot, except for we know that Doctors Without Borders for sure verified that, and I'm going to go with them based on some of the people I know that have participated in that. I think they're dead on, that there was neurological damage that led to the death, so we don't have to tiptoe around that. But what's the right thing to do? And the answer is there is no playbook. You make the move and you do it. The more I think they mess around with this, the more Assad is getting his ducks in a row anyway, and probably lining up whoever can help him in the background. It may be quiet allies, but he's got a few people backing him up, and they're floating stories that, hey, it's not us, it's not our chemical weapons, it's those rebels, it's their chemical weapons, and they're making it look like it's us, but it's not. So that's where we're at with Syria. It is a holiday weekend coming up, and I bet heading into the weekend is when we see that something happens, probably Friday, maybe even Thursday. The president for sure addresses this tomorrow, and he's already laid the groundwork, or the White House has laid the groundwork for it, with the VP talking about how we can't ignore chemical weapons, and Jay Carney saying there wouldn't be boots on the ground. Somebody who won't be involved in anything terrorist-related closer to home. You know, some people say that they're like cockroaches, and then that'll just push them further into trying to get deeper into the United States with sleeper cells, Al-Qaeda, and other forms of terrorism. Janet Napolitano had a rocky ride in the, I think, court of public opinion for sure as the Secretary of Homeland Security. She's saying bye-bye and had a few parting shots about the job, about being resilient, and sometimes needing to reach for headache medication. Take a listen.
You will need a large bottle of Advil. Some have said that being the Secretary of DHS is the most thankless job in Washington. That is not true. No doubt it's a very big and complex job. It's literally a 24/7 job. Yet, as my successor will soon learn, it's also one of the most rewarding jobs there is. At DHS, to be flexible and agile means being forward-looking in our preparations, early and active in our engagement, nimble in our response, and resilient in our recovery.
All right, bye, Napolitano. Let's see what the next era brings. And Homeland Security in general started after 9/11. Has it effectively been all we want it to be? When we look at how bloated the government is and we look at resources, what hasn't happened. with Homeland Security, I'd say sometimes it's been effective, but often what I thought Homeland Security would be, it didn't turn out to do that. And to me, the areas where we're still weak is along the border, and the question of what to do along the border and how to reinforce and adding more people and all of that just gets tossed around back and forth, and that riddle never really has gotten solved. And that's one of the biggest part of the problems that we have here in the United States, is who's in and who's out. And everyone's obviously all aware of that now at this point, and they have to change those policies to make it so much tougher. A couple of quick hits for you here right at the top, including the fact that the Fort Hood shooter's case has rested. We should know an outcome coming up here soon. So he didn't say anything in the sentencing phase of this. And the upshot is, after all of the victims' families had their say, which good for them, if there is any such thing as closure, which I don't think there is, at least something close to it may have happened for these families, because they got a chance to say how they missed the person that was in their life, and it was not fair and outrageous and all kinds of other things that were said. So at the minimum, the 42-year-old Nadal Hassan, who is in a wheelchair because he was paralyzed after his shooting rampage, is going to spend the rest of his life in prison. A jury will decide, though, if, hey, maybe they give him the death penalty. He could get the death penalty. If not, it's going to be life for Major Hassan. And remember, he screamed Allah Akbar, and there was certainly clearly evidence that he was kind of one of the minions of al-Awlaki. He had gotten caught up in that whole web. So he didn't do anything to address the people, or he didn't do anything to address the court himself. He stepped away from that and now waits to see what his fate will be, which I'm predicting is probably life in prison. It's probably life in prison. It's not going to be a death sentence. That would be really, really shocking if that was the case. I say shocking because all signs point in the opposite direction. Me, I'm a death penalty advocate when used correctly. And in this situation with Hassan and what he did and the lives he destroyed, and on an army base, no less, I say if the military crew can come up with that, I would back that 100%. And just as one last thing here, do you know we certainly have not solve the debt ceiling crisis? We're here again. The government shutdown battle is still being talked about. It's the all familiar dance. There was a letter that came out from the Treasury Secretary Jack Lew to House Speaker John Boehner saying basically we have only a little time to deal with two big deadlines that have to be addressed. Congress and Obama have to agree on at least a temporary spending deal. Usually this gets passed, not a big deal, but this year it'll be more complicated by Republicans saying any measure should include cuts known as a sequester that started this spring, and Democrats arguing that they'd be removed. So they're going back and forth on that, and that affects all the people that work for the government. Are they going to knowingly go into the next year having to face another sequester? Stay with us. Buckle up. We're taking this ride on to the other side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
We're welcoming back to the show now Ivan Eland, and he's with the Independent Institute, and he's got a new book out, too. We'll talk about that. But here's what I love. He wrote a piece called The Decentralization of Governance May Help Some Middle Eastern Countries in Turmoil. So, Ivan, thanks for coming back on America Tonight. And one of the things that you talked about, and it's something that we talk about so often, we look at what I call the chessboard of the Middle East, and you start off and you say, you know, so much of the focus on that coup in Egypt, and you talk about the repression ultimately of the supporters of the elected democratic government and ultimately what that's led to. And now here we go again with this familiar thing we've seen before, the civil war, and then you compare it to some other things. You talk about Al-Qaeda. Ultimately, what is the solution? I'm going to just start off big. What do you think is the solution here? And you say it in the title.
Well, I think basically a lot of these countries are artificial countries that are left over with colonial boundaries. Egypt less so than, say, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Libya. But what you really need to do is decentralize these countries because, like, for instance, Libya has many tribes, and now we have tribal militias roaming around. In Syria and Iraq and Lebanon, we sort of have the same ethnic group a lot of times, especially in Iraq and Syria. You have the Kurds, you have the Sunnis, and you have Shiites. And in Lebanon, of course, you subtract the Kurds and add the Druze. So you have a multiple ethnocentric groups or tribes, and they all fight for control of the central government because the central government has levers to oppress one group, allowing one group to oppress one or more of the other groups. And this has been a history in all these countries, so it's not a thing that's rare in these countries. And therefore, if you have the justice system and the security provided locally, for instance, in Libya, you do have tribal militias. Perhaps this should be ratified so that the boundaries are clear and whatever. But, Libya could be a loose confederation of tribal entities. Iraq, the same way, with you have the Sunnis, the Shiites, and the Kurds. And in Syria, of course, it's too late to stop the war, but after the war is over, what we may very well have is that delineation where Assad and his fellow Alawites, which is a form of Shiite Islam, they control the coast and Damascus and that corridor there. And then in the northeast, you have the Sunni rebels, and in the far northeast, you have the Kurds. So they may all have their own areas after the war is over, and you could get some sort of a peaceful settlement where they would be a confederation under the Syrian banner. Iraq would have a confederation under its banner. And I think with this patchwork of groups, if they all rule themselves and the central government is weaker, then they have less of an incentive to fight over the central government. And that's really what's occurring in all these countries.
Yeah. Do you think the works got kind of gunked up there because of international interference in some cases in these countries? Do you think that's what led to some of what we're seeing, or no, that would have happened anyway?
Well, no, I think particularly in Iraq, what you had is these countries have proven ungovernable unless you have an autocrat. Well, no one wants to see an autocrat, so the only alternative is to have this sort of confederation, I think, for stability. But in the meantime, this autocrat, the U.S. overthrew Saddam Hussein, who at least kept peace in the country. You know, there weren't, roadside bombs or suicide bombs every day, as we're seeing in Iraq now. It certainly was an iron-fisted rule, but there was stability in the country, and people weren't scared for their lives on a day-to-day basis. And, of course, the U.S. went in and overthrew that. Now, in the case of Syria, it resulted from peaceful demonstrations being repressed by the Syrian authorities. But of course, we see that the current ruler and his father have governed that country with an iron fist for many years. And, of course, that's falling apart. We had the Lebanese Civil War from 1975 to 1990, which the U.S. and Israel meddled in quite heavily. And, of course, we saw the Libyan where we overthrew Gaddafi. And now we have a terrorist haven down in the southern port, and we have all these weapons that Gaddafi had, which went down into Mali, and the government couldn't control the northern area because they have all these Islamic radicals, and the French had to go in there. So, and of course, that French going in will probably create new problems because the guerrillas have melded back into the woodwork, and perhaps going back over into Libya. And more than likely. And so every time the West intervenes, particularly the U.S., I think in many of these places, we make new enemies and we create more instability.
We're speaking with Ivan Elin. He is a senior fellow at the Independent Institute. And Ivan, you know, you have a great line here. You said the problem in both Iraq and Egypt is not their elected rulers didn't include every societal group in the government and let them sing kumbaya. It's that they don't have a culture of political tolerance that will allow liberal democracy and the rule of law to take root. It's what we're talking about here. Inclusion in government is less important than the government's respect for minority rights and than the losers of the election waiting to compete in the next one rather than resorting to violence to attempt a coup. The Muslim Brotherhood, from your point of view, what, you know, ultimately in looking at their members and the people attracted to the Muslim Brotherhood, is it being misrepresented? Is it a clash of extremists and those who aren't extreme? What's your take on MB?
Well, they have been an established group in Egypt for decades, and they have been peaceful in their most recent decades, and they were even peaceful with these demonstrations against the government, largely, and the government suppressed them. This is an example where we in the West, we have blinders on. We think everybody who's a devout Islamist is an Islamist terrorist, and there's a big difference. And the Muslim Brotherhood were Islamist as far as they were devout Islamic people, and we're dealing with an Islamist government in Turkey, which we've gotten along with fairly well. This is a devout Islamic regime, but they adhere to democratic processes. And yes, Morsi acted a little bit authoritarian, but the real key was the court nullified the parliament, and that was the key in the Egyptian problem, was that the Mubarak era court, with a lot of holdovers from the Mubarak era, nullified and threw out the parliament that was duly elected by Egyptian citizens. The Islamic vote was 75%, 51% from the Brotherhood, and 25% from an even more Islamic group. But I think we have to work with these groups, and we're making the classic case in the U.S. that we made during the communists. We said, you know, a Soviet communist is the same as a Chinese communist, is the same as a Vietnamese communist. Well, eventually Richard Nixon figured out, wow, we could drive a wedge between these and cooperate with some of them and against the other ones, the more dangerous ones. And that's what he did when he opened China. And I think what we need to do is we need to choose the Islamic parties that we can work with, even though they're kind of foreign to us because we don't have the same religion that they do, and they seem extreme. But if they're willing to, you know, be in some sort of a democratic process, and we can't expect the process in Egypt to be perfect. And I don't think Morsi was out of the realm of acceptability. He had accepted the Israeli Egyptian peace treaty, and he was governing by leaving, you know, the military was still there when he was in power as well. And of course they ousted him, but he wasn't our favorite leader, but we were trying to work with him, and I think that was the right approach. But of course then he got overthrown, and I think the Egyptian population is probably going to regret that, because this military government is even worse than the Mubarak military government as far as oppression. They're already starting to oppress some of the more liberal and non-Islamic elements, as well as the Muslim Brotherhood. So I think we have to pick off the groups that we can negotiate with, and let's keep it to groups that are actively attacking the U.S. that we go after, such as Al-Qaeda. I don't think we should enmesh ourselves in conflict, and I don't think we should be in the Syrian conflict, because I think we could get blowback extremism from the Syrian conflict as well.
Ivan Elam, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. GCNRadio.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp USA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at hempusa.org.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Talking about things that affect us when we're looking at the Middle East. And Ivan, you've got a new book out. Tell us about your new book.
My book is called The Failure of Counterinsurgency Warfare. And it's basically why the wars like Iraq, Afghanistan don't go very well for powerful Western countries. And I don't just look at those examples. I look at many examples over history, and you reach the conclusion that most times the lower-tech guerrillas can beat the higher-tech opponent, and despite all the technology, the higher-tech opponent gets arrogant, and oftentimes a lot of the advantages, they don't seem to be on the surface, but underlying, they really are with the guerrillas, and the United States should be very careful, and other great powers should be very careful about going into counterinsurgency warfare against guerrillas.
And you weren't surprised when you did your research for this, were you, or weren't you, with what your conclusions that you came up with?
Well, a lot of the most obvious cases, it's not clear that going in is a good thing. And as I researched more cases, even the successful cases were always caveated by the fact that the factors that were successful or made them successful are not uniform, and it's very difficult to reach conclusions that you should always do this to win. They're very messy political wars, and the counterinsurgency forces have to win both politically and militarily, and a lot of times they can win militarily but not politically. And of course, the guerrillas only need to win one of those two, and they win. So it's really easy. And also, the key element in these wars is to win the hearts and minds of the people. And that's why the full title of the book is The Failure of Counterinsurgency, Why Hearts and Minds are Seldom Won. To win this, the hearts and minds of the people, you really have to, if you're a foreign power, it's almost impossible to do that because you're a foreigner. For instance, in Afghanistan, you have the Taliban, which is very brutal, and we can't understand why the Taliban still has so much popular support vis-a-vis the U.S. when we're pumping aid in there and trying to help the population. Well, it's just because foreigners don't get the benefit of the doubt oftentimes when you go in there, and locals like the Taliban do.
Yeah. Ivan, if somebody wants to pick up a copy of your book, where can they get it?
Well, the easiest place, of course, is just Amazon. It's always there. You can order it very quickly. So that's probably the easiest place.
There you go. Go to Amazon. Ivan, thanks for coming on the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, so a lot of conversation there about the Middle East, and, you know, ultimately it's the same thing that we're saying. We've talked about this back with Iraq and Afghanistan and Egypt and what's happened in Egypt, and now here we go. We've been dealing with Syria, at least feelings of what should we do and where should we be where Syria is concerned. We're seeing a few things so far. Joe Biden being sent out saying that we can't tolerate chemical weapons being used on people. We see that oil has spiked up on the negative news, reaching an 18-month high, while the stock market is tanking on that news somewhat. It's been kind of a roller coaster ride, but that's what happens. We've got destroyers, four of them in place. They could launch those Tomahawk missiles, lob them in, and do that for a couple of days. David Cameron from the UK on board with that wants to see something happen. But what good does it do ultimately? And the UN pushing for that humanitarian aid, saying there's so much more that has to go to the people who are struggling to survive. And then this little nugget about North Korea trying to send weapons to Syria and gas masks as well. So is Assad getting ready to say, you know what, you want to lob some missiles in here, guess what we're going to do? And he's certainly not there because they're denying any chemical weapon use, but are they amping up for something else to happen? North Korea tried to push those masks, but they were seized in Turkey with arms and a whole bunch of ammunition to boot. So with this threat from the U.S. over taking some sort of action because of the chemical weapons attack, it seems to me that the back channels are working, or at least that's what we're hearing about, that the back channels are working. So what does that mean if something should happen and there are missiles rather launched? They're lobbed, because it's really more like lobbing them in there. It's if you picture it in your mind, the trajectory and how close it is. So 1,300 people have been killed, kids, women, the whole, you know, you get it. You know the picture. Doctors Without Borders, who I trust implicitly, has said 355 people died from dying from chemical weapons, the neurotoxic symptoms. It showed the people that they treated, the people that were dead. You had the UN inspectors that were shot at from snipers, at least one of the cars in the convoy that they were with when they went to Damascus to look at the, you know, the claims of the chemical weapons. And you have our Secretary of State, John Kerry, saying it's undeniable. Undeniable is the word he used. And that there would be some sort of a response for the actions. So we're talking, as John Kerry said, how can we allow the indiscriminate slaughter of civilians, the killing of women, children, innocent bystanders by chemical weapons? That it's a moral obscenity. Is it a moral obscenity and front to you to see this happening? And absolutely, what we're seeing here and what ultimately the play is there something that we're missing? Is there something that we're missing that hasn't been put on the table? I mean, you know, this is a familiar theme, but a much more horrific, I'll call him dictator, than we've dealt with today. He's the most horrific, I think, because of the amount of people that have died. So this is it. The red line is pegged, and either we're in or we're out. I've said that now a couple of times because to me that's what the deal is. I think they'll use black ops. I think they'll use missiles, and I think that's it. And then can you imagine if there was some crazy response from Assad as a result of that? Who knows what this opens up? You know, in planning and saying, okay, militarily, here's what I'm told. Here's what people are saying. Here's what's widely being reported as well. And pumping them in, pumping the rockets in, what is it going to do? What's it going to do? You remember all of the conversation about weapons of mass destruction. We got to get those weapons of mass destruction, and then there's, of course, lots of time for other things to disappear. But then how everything unfolded after that. So what responsibility do we have here? What responsibility do we have with this? And here we go again. So the gas masks to protect them from the people using the chemicals, and there's much more that meets the eye or that doesn't meet the eye that's happening that we're not completely aware of. And this president who was Mr. Peace and wanted to get us out of Iraq as soon as possible, and that happened in 2014, or that's happening in 2014. This goes against what he said he was about as he came into office. So this on the heels of the NSA spying and grabbing your information, mine, and who knows, grandma's information, and who knows what in between. But some serious decisions have to be made. And probably in the next couple of days, any strikes against Syria would just be, from what I'm told from a source, don't expect massive bombing or something. There's no scud stud in our future to be reporting. And you can see the scud. No, that this would be ours, and that would be it. It would be over with. So if anything happens, the play is don't expect for it to last a long time. We have our destroyers in place. We are ready to roll, and we're going to make it short and sweet. But what does that do? If we've got even long-range stealth bombers, what does it do by some missiles, by missile strikes? What does that make Assad do, back off? Would he really back off with the missiles, the simple cruise missile strike? It doesn't seem likely to me. Doesn't seem likely. And each Navy destroyer has about 90 Tomahawks. That's what they could have at one point. So you figure we got four, so multiply that, maybe give or take, and they might not all be up to 90. All right, the fire in Yosemite, we're talking about it next here on America Tonight.
Out. Alabama. It's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo. Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. Med Kits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Chef 5-Minute Meals, the complete self-contained bug-out meal. No water needed to rehydrate this survival food. Everything for a hot home-style meal is already included. Steaming hot in just 5 minutes. Anytime, anywhere. Perfect for disasters or distress, yet great for every day. Shelf-stable for 5 years without refrigeration. For a limited time, buy a 12-pack of assorted meals and get free shipping to the lower 48. Order at chef5mm.com or call 888-959-6502.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
As we hit the final turn here for this hour of America Tonight, we've got next Wednesday, we're getting back into football, and it means that, yes, football is back on America Tonight once a week. Nail the Score. We do a Nail the Score segment on Wednesday. It's a lot of fun. Randomly, our computer picks the game of the week, and you call in. You don't have to know anything about football. You pick a side, who you think is going to win the game and what you think the final score is going to be. If you correctly nail the score, you clean out whatever's left in the prize closet. So it's a lot of fun, and it is. It's a lot of fun. People, we've been doing it since we started America Tonight, and people always seem to really enjoy it, so we're going to have some NFL guests and other people on, too, mix it into all of this political conversation that makes us so exasperated far too often, right? So So instead, we're going to mix in a few other things along the way. It's only for three segments, and you don't have to know anything about sports, like I said, or football or like it. It's a cheaper thrill than plunking down $2 to pay for a Powerball ticket, because it's like that. It's just like that, and you could end up being a big-time winner. Not a big winner at this point are the 3,500 firemen. I mean, in my book, they're big winners, and it's incredible what they're doing. But trying to stop this fire in Yosemite, I've said it already. To me, they call it like the beautification areas, the places where people go and spend time by the waterfalls and all of that. They're still okay at Yosemite. But my goodness, if you could see, and maybe many of you have seen it, just the wall of fire, red hot fire, bearing down and just chomping on anything in its path at Yosemite. This is a brutal fire, and a lot of people are laboring to get it out. I mean, it's incredible how many firemen they are using on this thing, because it's so, so big. And it was, I think, Izzy that pointed out to us, and she was right. I double-checked on this today, that there's only so many helicopters and planes that they have that they can use on Yosemite to help get, you know, terminate this fire, because you have people on the ground, and then you've got others in the air dropping fire retardant, and that fire retardant can be really powerful, especially when you're talking about lines and blocking places off and ultimately putting out the fire. But we're short some of what we should have aerial, so that's not helping us. And the rim fire is just a menace, and it's been going and going and going and going, and it's at the edge of what they call Hetch Hetchy Reservoir, which has customers in the Bay Area, power-wise significant, 2.6 million is what they estimate it to be. And they're panicked. They're panicked. And people are panicked about their houses. And, you know, El Capitan rock formation, rather, is the thing that you see. When you go into Yosemite and you've never been there, that's what you're looking for. That's safe. It's miles away from the rim's fire. But where that other fire is near that reservoir, that is what's so scary for the people in San Francisco. The utility companies are not liking this. Do you know it's now already the seventh largest fire in California's recorded history? Because, you know, what we don't know. Maybe there was one bigger. But seven is pretty significant. Very significant. They're evacuating new areas now, north of a place called Old Yosemite Road, and it's pretty difficult terrain, and that makes it tough for these crews to be able to get there and get it out. So you got others who have tried to help with the helicopter situation and the plane situation, and so what we have now is you have the tankers, you have the C-130 tankers, you've got helicopters and other helicopters coming in, so 20 helicopters. So there are other people who are trying to help and lend equipment or do whatever they can. And to try to get the firemen, because there's so many in and out, they've had to close off several roads, and boy, the timing for this just could not be worse. But it's about saving anything they can. You have homes there. You got a big stretch that could be threatened. You've had 31 houses and 80 what they call outbuildings that have already been destroyed. And this fire, here's what you have to remember. This fire started over 10 days ago, August 17th. And the cause, they don't know. They're looking into the cause of this. So was it somebody who accidentally dropped a cigarette? Is it something that was a spark? Who knows? The fire investigators are pretty good, and they'll be able to nail this down. But if you could see the map, it's sad how much is going away, how big of a stretch. But right now, it's still not in those areas that I was talking about that would be just crippling to people who have on their bucket list, frankly, Yosemite. Go see Yosemite. Make the trip out there. Go and take whoever. But Yosemite is perilously close to a couple of things. One, knocking out the power in San Francisco, and also pretty close to what could be destroying the popular areas that draw people from all over the world to make that extra step or two to Yosemite. Because if you're in California, not a big deal. If you're in Washington, if you're the West Coast, not necessarily a big deal. Much more of a pain if you're flying into San Francisco, rent a car, drive out. And, you know, we don't want to lose this gem. And especially in the particular areas, we don't want to see that happen. So I'll be curious to find out what investigators say happened that caused this. Because there have been lightning strikes that people have reported that have been part of the reason for some of the fires that we've seen, but this is, I mean, this is really pretty bad stuff. I don't know any other way to describe it. We have a quick follow-up. They're saying for sure now, thank goodness, and it seemed as though this was going to be what it was. I told you about being on the Jersey Shore and seeing dolphins and some dolphins washing up on shore, and the killing of the dolphins, they believe, is a virus. So the reason so many dead dolphins were washing ashore in the East Coast is because of that. That it's very similar, by the way, to measles in humans or canine distemper in dogs. But disease experts have been testing and testing and testing, and they are trying to nail down the specific cause, and that's what they believe, that the dolphins' death alarmed the biologist, and they said that they've never seen this before, and they keep saying it's some kind of a weird strain of a virus. And it's too bad the dolphins have gotten stuck in shallow water, have washed up on the shore, and over 9 times the average for July and August is gone over. So some are found alive, but very few. Most are found in different parts of decomposition, or some are found intact, but they're definitely dead, and they want to figure out what it is so they can save the dolphins. The bottlenose dolphins, they're pretty big news, and they're protected. So what was it? Infections, malnutrition, something else that we haven't heard yet. If you have any thoughts on the show, you can share them with me, of course, anytime. Shake it up. Send it to us, americatonight.net.
A simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.